Hello and welcome to episode 3 of the Hope Mindfulness podcast. My name is Paul Gerrigan. I'm a mindfulness coach here at Hope Rehab.
My name is Simon Mott. I am the co-founder of Hope Rehab.
What we thought we would talk about today is the joy of helping other people in recovery. So, Simon, you are a founder of a rehab. You've been involved in therapy for, 10 years, 12 years, is it?
That's right.
So is helping other people a joy?
Well, yeah. I mean, there's helping other people. There's helping other people find recovery, other addicts. And then there's, you know, the founding of Hope Rehab. They're kind of slightly separate things. So that as soon as I came into recovery, you know, when you come into recovery, particularly 12-step recovery, it's a focus. It's part of the philosophy that in order to stay in recovery, we help others. So it's sort of you refresh yourself by teaching other people, basically. So the teacher learns from the student to some extent. It opened so many doors for me, but it immediately was enlightening. You know, I had lived a very selfish life before that, self-centered life and the nature of addiction. And then suddenly I was helping other people, either in a practical way or spiritual way or psychologically, you know, if they came to me to talk about issues they had. And when people, I tell you what really emphasizes that is that, you know, walking down the street in Camden or, you know, and, or on Facebook, getting, you know, bumping into someone and they say, I'll never forget what you told me a couple of years ago in a meeting. It's changed my life completely. Or getting a message on Facebook from even an old client saying, I just want to let you know, thanks a lot, you know, I'm 5 years clean. And things like that happen to everyone, not just me. And some people more than others, I mean, more than me.
And how soon after you got into recovery did you sort of really start to focus on helping others? I know it's part of the 12 steps, yeah. But when did you sort of know that, hey, this is really good for me?
Oh, to be honest with you, it was a task that I was set by what we call a sponsor, so it was our mentor. Said, right, I want you to do 5 things every day, meditation, you know, write your wish list or your gratitude list. Anyway, one of the 5 things was, I want you to find a newcomer, someone newer than you, which I thought, oh my God, how am I going to do that? And ring them every day and ask them how they are. And I did it, and it was immediately gratifying, you know. It was very quickly. But also, we help each other in other ways, don't we? Set up a meeting, or we do something like you putting on your blog has helped so many people. No one paid you to do that. No one, you know. So we do it in other practical ways that people can access information. So, immediately it reinforced my recovery. But it told me I'm an okay person. I'm not this bad devil type person. There is that element to me, of course, but there is also a good part of me that, you know, can be constructive. And for many of us, you know, we might have lived quite destructive lives. I was quite disruptive in school. I wasn't really part of the group, you know, and suddenly to be accepted as a really important, valued part of the group, you know, it's revolutionary. It's amazing. It's changed my life.
And what do you say? So, you know, that when you started sort of, you're giving those tasks to help other people. Would you say it was that that sort of got you to here? I know you said they're disconnected, that, you know, that they're sort of, you know, you had your, you know, you did the stuff you did, then you had the therapy, and then you have been a founder of a rehab. But do you sort of think they're connected?
I think they are connected. Mm. You're right to sort of raise that because, I mean, what they say of, I mean, I'm talking again about the 12-step groups, but I'm sure of any sort of self-help group or women's institute, you name it, any organization you become part of, you know, whether it be a Buddhist group, it could be anything, you know, you learn to function in a team and you learn how to do the accounts, you learn how someone else does those sort of speaking to the landlord, someone else, and you learn to do like the sorts of things that you then take with you and put into your life on a business level or to earn a living or to build a family. So I learned skills in my early recovery through becoming part of something that I then took into my life generally that then led on to I'm able to do this. I can set up I got a job in the community working for someone else. I mean,
you know, was that something you'd have thought you'd have been capable of?
No. Simple answer. No, I didn't think I was capable of much. I certainly didn't think I was capable of working within a team very efficiently, and still a challenge for me. But I'm the head of the team now, so I can get away with it to some extent. And what I do seems to work. So again, I can justify it.
So. I mean, that's sort of similar with me. So I got into sort of voluntary work, and then I trained to be a nurse.
Mm.
Did you find, when it sort of moved from sort of just helping people because you were told to do it by your sponsor to being paid for it, that it sort of changed?
Well, there's a massive transition, and I like to talk about this, as particularly to people who want to do the same, you know, because when we turn into a professional, you could say, you know, it's very different. As you know, being a nurse, you have all sorts of professional ethics, boundaries, you know, and it becomes a job, like any job. You know, and it can be wearing and tiring, and you want your own time off, and you know, it can take some of the joy out of it, yeah. But I think if you look at it more broadly and generally, you know, you've done some good for some people. Like, everyone knows nurses are angels. They, you know, whether they get paid or not, we value them. You know, whether they get paid well or not, I should say. But you know, everyone knows these people are doing a good job.
But one of the things, like, say, we were told in nursing is that in order to, you know, function properly, you have to sort of harden up a little bit, you have to be more professional.
Yes, yes. And that's definitely, you know, bringing it into today, our conversation. You know, I wouldn't say some of the joys come out of it, but I certainly, you could find plenty of people who'd say, God, you know, don't cross him, he'll be, you know, I'm pretty tough with my team or with clients, only in the name of safety. And in the name of consistency, you know, not, it's never personal, not really. Occasionally someone's, I think, oh my God, how did I let them in? But very rarely does that happen. And certainly if I reflect back on everyone, I never think that. I think, of course, I let them in. I wanted to help them, you know, and they deserve help as well. Truth is, most of the clients we get here are an absolute joy and pleasure to work with. Occasionally someone has additional issues, mental health or something, that gets in the way of function, communication, so, you know, but most of the time, no, I'm pleased. I'm tired, you know, it's I'm carrying the weight of a big treatment centre, an international treatment centre. I don't have a lot of directors managing all the various administrative areas. I get great members of the team like yourself and others that just manage their areas without any question. I never have to even look at it, but I'm carrying a lot, and the load can be quite heavy sometimes. And it's not always a joy to carry. You know, sometimes it's painful. But again, if I look back on my life and I see this, I mean, hey,
not everyone could do what you do, though.
No, I definitely can.
And would you sort of say then, given that that's the case, that maybe like this sort of work isn't being sober doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be good at helping people, at least in a professional level?
Absolutely. And a lot of people come here naively thinking and find that out. Hold on. And they say to me after a few months, no, I don't want to do this. You know, and I say, okay, that's all right. You know, either as volunteers or support workers, they think they want to get into it. And they find out that they're not cut out for it. And not everyone is cut out for it.
What about helping people generally? Would you say there's people who are just not cut out for helping people generally?
Well, I'm loathed to say that because you can help people in so many different ways. Yeah. You know, the guys who build the roads help us. We need a road to drive
on. But you know, you see people and they suddenly, it's like they're meant to be recovering and they suddenly become obsessed with fixing other people.
Well, that's obviously, then you're into the negative. You know, I mean, we're talking about some balance here.
Yeah.
So paradoxically, going from total self-centered, you know, using addict to I'm going to save the world. Yeah. I mean, we look at that and say, what's going on here then? And slow down and wait till you're ready. And, you know, so yeah, of course. And you do get over-enthusiastic people. I've written about it on my website, who can put people off recovery.
We'll link to that later.
Yeah, yeah. And that's written about, you know, and it puts people off. And unfortunately, it happens quite a lot. I mean, a lot of people can go to an AA meeting and get put off by misguided, you know, so-called helpful people getting in your face, going, you're relaxed, get God, you must. We'll slow down, mate. You know, maybe that worked for you. Let the person find their feet first, you know. Yeah. You know, let the person reach out to you. I that's another boundary I have about helping people. I'm quite bounded about it now because I save my resources for those who reach out to me. I'm in a position to do that. I'm not saying everyone needs to. Some people, fine, go on the street, go looking for the addicts, you know, that can be helpful. I used to do that as a job, and I used to approach the addicts on the street, and I sign them up, and maybe some of them.
How was the period from the time that you were, say, just starting to help people? Like, you know, when you, that sponsor told you to, you know, do five things, yeah. and before you became a therapist, like, how long gap was there?
Well, I mean, before I answer that, what I will tell you, something comes to mind, which was really tragic and disturbing, is that I did what he said, and I met a lovely young guy in London, and I connected with him, and I would call him up, and he really benefited, and tragically, he died of a heroin overdose. A few months in.
That must be pretty hard for you, was it?
It was absolutely soul-destroying at that time. I was like, you know, what did I do wrong? And didn't I, you know, wasn't I there for him? You know, he just went off the radar.
Do you blame yourself?
Well, no. I mean, I had to ask myself, could I have done something differently? You know, I got close to this guy. And it just felt like I wasn't enough.
If that had happened earlier, if that had happened, say, in your first month or so, would that have been very dangerous to you?
Well, it was. I mean, I wouldn't have relaxed over it at that point, maybe another time. But it really was disturbing. And I was very early in recovery when it happened. I'm sure I was less than a year. And it was absolutely, I still think about that guy. And he's real tragic. And what couldn't I, because he rang me with issues and problems and talking about it. And I tried to talk him through it. He went off the radar. And next thing I know, I've heard he's dead. So that's the other side to trying to help people. Yeah. And I'm sure you know. Not all of them we can help.
And how long was it? Because I would sort of see all of that stuff you went through then as sort of like training. Like, how long was it before, so when you started helping other people as an informal way and becoming a therapist?
Took me 5 years. So I did not dive in. I was actually a gardener. I worked, you know.
Did you think you needed that 5 years?
I did. I help people, like you say, informally here, there and everywhere, but I didn't get into this business until I was 5 years clean.
Wow.
And I would say it was incredibly beneficial to take that time for myself. Again, I've seen people and allowed people to get involved way earlier than that, as you know, we have volunteers here. You know, if someone shows promise, we will give them a chance. But a couple we've lost, not dead, but a couple have fallen by the wayside, could not handle it. It was too soon in recovery. But the only sort of way I could defend that is that it is the sort of current policy internationally, you know, around the world, globally, in treatment centres to take on peers, volunteers, and introduce people into it formally at a very early stage. And it does help people.
Yeah.
And it gives them a chance at a job. And it gives, whereas they might not be able to find a job elsewhere. So there's lots of reasons to do that. But I needed the 5 years. I did. Yeah.
And what benefits would you say, not just talking about becoming a therapist, but helping others just generally, what benefits are there for people in recovery?
I think, like I've said, you know, self-esteem,
mm-hmm.
you know, changes the way you feel about yourself and the way you view yourself and your self-image hugely, particularly coming from that place of a using addict, you know, which is terribly destructive to the self, to others. So that's a major part of it. It also helps you build your skill base, you know, in communication, learning. Most people go and learn something, you know, to do with this. Most people, I know so many people have gone back to university and college and counselling courses just because they wanted to help people more efficiently, you know, whereas they might not have really been focused and known what to do otherwise. So, you know, it helps us in so many respects, you know, that self.
And how would someone know then, if they're doing all that, how would someone know that they're suitable to become a therapist or they're suitable to become a counsellor? I mean, do you think people know? Did you know? Did you sort of get this sense after 5 years, yeah, that's my...
50-50, I would say. Mm. I didn't not know. And I didn't know. I mean, I still don't think I'm, you know, I'm definitely not, in a traditional sense, the greatest counsellor, that's for sure, you know. And maybe my talents are more in other areas of the business or the field.
Well, you mean you did it for a long time, didn't you?
I did it for a long time, and I worked very closely with people, and I built great relationships. But if you go to a traditional counselling course or therapy course, I wouldn't fit that box at all.
Sort of change yourself. Do you think that's for this type of work? Do you think it's sort of better coming from your type of background then?
I think, what can I say? And my actions speak for themselves. Yeah. So here at Hope Rehab, we employ people in recovery. Doesn't have to be 12-step recovery. Often is, but doesn't have to be. There's mindfulness-based recovery. There's someone who's passionate about, and they've managed to make a fundamental change in their life. It doesn't even have to be addiction, to be honest.
That's another thing. Can someone do this job and not be sort of so good in their own recovery? The people who are in recovery.
I think that's difficult.
Mm.
Yeah, walk the walk, talk the talk.
But it's can this cure difficult. You? Can becoming a counsellor or a therapist cure you? Can it fix you?
No. No, it can undo you. Quite the opposite. But it can't fix you. Definitely.
Because I think a lot of people could be probably drawn to it because of that reason that, oh, it would fix me if I do that.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I hear people say, oh, if I have a baby, I won't use again. You know, of course, it doesn't. The statistics show us that's not true. Yeah. You know, people, and that's the most sort of important, powerful thing that you can do in your life is have a baby, and it doesn't stop people using. They lose their babies. So becoming counselor won't stop people using. And of course, we know so many stories about people who have relapsed and they've been counselors. It can undo you. You can take your eye off the ball. You know, so to speak, but no, so I definitely wouldn't advocate that, you know. One has to have a strong recovery in your own right, like I did. 5 years, I had built a business, a life, independent of all of this.
Do you ever regret it?
What?
Becoming a therapist and sort of coming through?
No, I don't regret it. My life was enhanced by it, you know, so I reached, you know.
Because it must be very hard, I mean, running a treatment centre, you know, it's a hard thing, isn't it?
It's a hard thing. It's
and I see how stressed you are. I mean, yeah. It looks a very stressful position to be in.
It can be, especially but dealing with people. It's worth it. It's worth it in the grand scheme of things. But for me, personally, maybe in a selfish way, I can look back and say, my life wasn't a total waste, you know, and I didn't cause too much. You know, the pain I caused others, which I did, undoubtedly, has been not necessarily rectified, but, you know, I've done some good as well. So for me, as a personal achievement, it's everything I want.
And do you still regularly get that sense, you know, I've helped someone today?
Yes. Yeah. We do get we get the opposite as well, where we didn't manage to help that person.
And you still get the same joy from that as you did.
I do. I mean, personally, maybe there's people out there who find it easier in my position, but you know, I am challenged by it. I try and manage myself effectively. Mm. So I find sometimes dealing with people, ironically, quite difficult. Staff members, clients, depends what it is. And running the treatment centre. So I have to get a bit of distance. I don't go into group anymore, and I'm not doing one-to-one counselling. That needs to be said. I'm managing the treatment centre. There's so much to do on a daily basis.
You miss all that?
Sorry?
Do you miss all that stuff?
Occasionally I do, but I can always grab a client and sit and have a chat, which I do, you know, and I like to be closer to the client than sometimes I am. Sometimes I get distance, and if I look over and I see a client I don't know the name, I feel there's something wrong.
Mm.
I've always got 20 clients, and if I don't know someone's name, I'm like, quickly grab one out of the stuff. What's his name? Go up, hi, Joe, how you doing? I want to know, I want to be in a position where I always know their name, and I roughly know their issues, so I want to be connected. I need that connection. But it's you know, it's a bit like anything really. You know, it's sort of like there's a pyramid or a hierarchy, and you know, the person at the top, you know, makes one level of decisions, and then it's fed down to the next layer and the next layer and the next layer, and this is the same as anywhere like that. There's a structure to the organization, and someone has to have that final say or you know, push the button, as it were. You know?
Is there any final advice you'd like to give people who, you know, in regards to this whole helping others?
Yeah, I suppose final advice about helping others is, I would say it can be, you know, so long as you're in recovery, you probably are to some extent, or at least you're not damaging others.
Yeah, which is setting a good example, I suppose, at least.
So an example I would say is find somewhere, and it could be anything really, voluntary work-wise, and just ask if you can help out in some simple way. But you can do it on the road. You can let someone go before you in traffic. You can, you know, in very small ways, you can start to be more helpful than unhelpful. And as soon as you do that, society is benefiting, and we all benefit. You know, so being helpful, you know, isn't just about actively promoting recovery or something like that.
Yeah.
It can also just be out there, you know, seeing someone in need, give them something to...
Some just smiling at someone, I suppose.
Smiling at someone.
Can be a service, can't it?
Yeah, we had a conversation today, didn't we? Just smiling at people can help someone, you know, at the right moment. So there's so many ways. And it's that mindset of being helpful and constructive rather than, I don't care anymore. I don't care about anyone but myself. I don't even care about myself. Mm. So, you know, So that's really it.
Well, thanks very much for your time, Simon.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And hopefully we'll speak again.
Yeah, and I'll listen to this.